Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our redeemer. Amen. 30 years ago, the movie The Killing Fields won prestigious awards in the film industry. It told a small part of a tragic story of death and violence in Cambodia. After the oppressive political regime had been defeated, Western doctors flooded to the country in an effort to heal the carnage. The doctors discovered a number of blind women, yet when they examined these women, it was clear that their retinas were okay. The optic nerves were healthy. What finally dawned on these doctors was that these women simply chose not to see anymore. They had already seen too much. Their husbands' children slaughtered. Their villages burned. Their whole lives raped, gutted, and destroyed. For these survivors, blindness became a spiritual condition instead of a physical condition. In order to cope, they literally shut out the ugliness of the world around them. I know many people today who are trying their very best to shut out the recent headlines because of the pain in their past. And it keeps getting thrown in their face day after day after day. And so if you hear one thing from me today, please continue to pray and act. We certainly lift up our sister congregation, Tree of Life, and all the people. Every week it seems like something new, and I have no words for it. Our gospel lesson today, I think, needs to be read on two levels. It's a story about physical blindness, but it's also a story about spiritual blindness. There are only two stories in the Gospel of Mark that focus on restoring sight to the blind, and these healing passages form a parenthesis around Mark's discussion of discipleship. What does it mean to see Jesus? What does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to see clearly Jesus, to wipe away the fog from our complicated, confused lives in order to focus on who, what, where we're called to be? In both healing stories in the gospel, it is clear it is the disciples who eat, sleep, yawn, chew, argue, laugh with Jesus, the most intimate companions, and they don't have a clue what Jesus is talking about. Instead, they remain blind to the possibilities of God. You see, it's the outsiders. It's the beggars. It's the infirmed. It's the outcast who burst with faith, hope, and vision. They're the ones who see, the ones who are healed, the ones who respond to God's invitation to wholeness. Now, in a larger sense, then, our gospel story today is about making the reign of God visible in a world that is spiritually blind, making God visible in the midst of our own myopic living. Bartimaeus teaches us that healing our blindness, restoring our sight, cleansing our vision is as much a responsibility of us as it is a gift from God. The beggar is plopped on the side of the road, dusty and distressed, wrapped in his ragged cloak, but smart enough to know that if he sits close to the main thoroughfare, all the pilgrims, all the priests rushing to Jerusalem for the Passover party will notice him. If he makes himself obvious enough, he will collect enough alms to keep him safe for a while. But then the commotion begins. He hears the cries, Jesus is coming. And his inner eye, so finely tuned to glimpse with his heart what his eyes cannot see. His inner eye catches the vision of wholeness. And so with impetuous joy, with desperate need, with passionate hope, with unshakable faith, he jumps up. He runs. He pleads. He believes. He follows. He's healed. A significant lesson that Bartimaeus teaches me is that healing begins with honesty, knowing who we are and what we are not. Admitting our imperfection, our brokenness, confessing first of all to God and then to ourselves what it is we need in order to be whole. Rabbi Harold Kushner suggests that the original sin of human condition is the illusion of self-sufficiency, the audacious assumption we can do it all, that we can be it all, that we can overcome it all, based simply on our strength and power. I don't know about you. That one hits me right between the eyes. Bartimaeus teaches all of us, we need God. We need each other. We need a power and a spirit beyond ourselves to feel, to see all of life. The most healing thing that Jesus does in this story is to ask Bartimaeus, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want me to do for you? My friends, all the divine power in the world can't change us if we're not ready, if we're not clear that we want to be healed, if we're not able to admit, define, express our want and our need. Now, you may say, well, it's kind of obvious what Bartimaeus needs and wants. After all, he is blind. Clearly, he wants to see. But it isn't that simple. Sometimes we assume. What? Yeah, we assume what others need. We know what's best for them rather than just asking them. If someone is hurting, if someone is stressed, it's always good to let them clarify by asking them. When I was right out of seminary and I knew everything, I was the associate minister at a church about this size, and the senior minister died suddenly, and all of a sudden I had to do a stewardship campaign, having never done one, and I had to do a review of all the employees, having never been really reviewed before. The committee was great that helped. When we reviewed our employees, we had a set of questions, and we went through all of them the same. But I knew everything. I knew what they all wanted. They all wanted more money. Kind of obvious. When we got to our custodian, he was our lowest paid employee. He got the fewest hours. I knew what he wanted. He wanted more money. We went down the list of questions. And he wasn't answering them the way I thought he was. So I finally said, "What do you want?" And he paused. I said, "What would make your job easier? What do you want? Do you want money?" And he said, "No, I want a dustbuster." Now, they were kind of new technology back then, but you could still get a really fancy one for about $20. "I want a dustbuster." And at that point, I kind of revealed my inexperience, and I said, "You don't want more money? You want a dustbuster?" He goes, "No, I don't need more money." But he needed a dustbuster. You see, we had two stories in that congregation, the building. The adults were all on that ground floor. Guess where the kids were, with their Cheerios and their crumbs and all that stuff that had to be swept up? They were upstairs. We didn't have an elevator. but we had an industrial strength vacuum cleaner downstairs. Sometimes we assume we know what others need. That custodian was giddy over our deluxe dustbuster we got him. In this story, Jesus did another amazing thing. He stopped. He stopped and asked. Jesus stopped and asked. And when Bartimaeus said what it is that he wants, he's also acknowledging the difference between newfound sight and what it will bring. You see, when we're healed, the demands, they change. The stretching that new vision creates can be overwhelming. Our story today tells us, be careful, be careful, be careful about what you want. You might get it, and you may never be the same. Will Campbell was a wise and earthy preacher of the 20th century, and he tells a story of his own awakening vision as a follower of Jesus. You see, he was a teenager growing up in rural Mississippi in the 1930s, and he witnessed a classic redneck lynching. A black man was caught stealing at the mayor's house, and the upstanding white citizens in that community reacted with gleeful rage. They tied the man to the back of the car, dragged his body along gravel roads through the center of town, shouting hate-filled taunts, throwing rocks at the despised culprit. Finally, they dumped his body outside the white cemetery, leaving his shredded flesh to fester in the blistering sun. Campbell remembers going with the other teenagers in town to make fun of that broken body, spit insults at the victim. It was only a couple of years later when Campbell caught the vision of God's reign, when he understood for the first time the justice and compassion and dignity that God intends for all. It was only then that Campbell looked back at that vicious day in Mississippi with new eyes of faith. He saw the brutality, the horror of what he and others had done to another child of God. Yes, when we ask for new sight, we have to be prepared for changing vision, for letting go of our deeply held prejudice, saying goodbye to our fears, and walking away from the myths that have narrowly defined our living too long. You see, I think this has hurt the LGBTQ community again and again because people who haven't been open catch a glimpse of the full humanity of others, but unlike Campbell, don't have the courage, the faith, the humility to say, for all those years, I was wrong. Which suggests another lesson from Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus teaches us that being healed involves risks. Another favorite part of this story for me is the image of the blind beggar. He's wrapped up in this cloak, and then throwing off his cloak, springing forward, casting off that which represents his poverty, his past, his security. That cloak was his life. It was his bed at night, his protection from the rain and the cold, covering that shielded his impoverished self from ridicule, from scorn, from the crowds. To throw off his cloak is to throw off all that defined him and kept him safe. To throw off his old life in order to be free and unencumbered for whatever new life awaits him. To throw off his cloak is to become vulnerable so that God can make him whole. To throw off our cloaks is to make the ultimate statement of faith. to give up the old fears, trusting that God will cloak us with new and abundant future. Yes, to throw off our cloak is to replace the power of predictability and fear with the power of possibility and love. So friends, what do we really want? What do we really want to see? If we're granted sight, we might see things that shake us out of our comfort zone. You want what? For how much? How much money do you want? What? Today, Bartimaeus touches us and teaches us what it means to say yes, to see beyond, to see means to look beyond our appearances into the depth of the way things really are. To see means to open our eyes, to recognize that which has been there all along. To see means to recognize God, the God before us, the God beside us, the God inside us, who calls us on a journey of healing and wholeness. To see means finally to be free. Free like Bartimaeus, choose to follow where God is leading, to serve, maybe even to suffer and die for that which really matters. When we do the work of the church, we're not merely volunteers. We are what Pastor Jim said so eloquently last week, extravagant ministers, called by God to the ministry of service. Take heart, as the scripture says. I think you should all consider yourselves called. And finally, Gregory of Nyssa was a 4th-century Christian bishop, taught that the basic human sin is the refusal to grow, the decision to remain miserable but safe in that familiar surroundings, the decision to hide in our familiar cloak of blindness. The decision to avoid any clear vision of who we want to become. So today, God asks us to grow. God asks us, what do you want? Then God invites us to jump up with impetuous joy. Throw off the cloaks that are binding us, to stumble forward in risk and hope, even if we don't see the staircase, as Martin Luther King said, to take that step. Yes, God invites us to speak our need and then trust in the power and the possibility of God's grace to meet that need, to heal us and make us whole. This is the good news of the gospel. May it be so for you, for me, for all of God's children. Thanks be to God. Amen.